Conference record has joined the conference.
Hello and welcome to the November 2012 Spec Lead call. My name is Harold Ogle, and this month's call is talking about JCP 2.9 and transparency. So first, I would like to talk a little bit about JCP 2.9. If you've just joined the call, we're looking at the slides in the WebEx session. But these are also available from the multimedia page on jcp.org. So looking at the second slide, there's a number of URLs for you to reference information about JCP 2.9. including the spec lead guide and overview of the changes in 2.9 and 2.8. And the reason for that will be apparent in a few minutes. And the FAQ for spec leads. Moving to the third slide, just an overview of the changes in JCP 2.9. So essentially, it boils down to that the two executive committees that we've had since the executive committees were founded in the year 2000, the ME, the Micro Edition Executive Committee, and the Standard Edition / Enterprise Edition Executive Committees have been merged into one. So there's a slight reduction in the size of the executive committee now that it's merged. Rather than two with 16 members apiece, there's one with 25 sitting members. That's 16 ratified seats, 8 elected seats, and Oracle with the permanent seat on the executive committee. Aside from that, JCP 2.9 is the same as JCP 2.8 in terms of milestones and ballots and different requirements for transparency. All those things are the same. We'll be talking about those in the second slide deck when we're talking about transparency. Moving to the fourth slide, I thought I would talk about how JCP 2.9 affects JSRs and also how it will be rolled out to JSRs that are already in progress and didn't start under JCP 2.9. So since JCP 2.9 merged the executive committees, there is only one executive committee. So effectively, JCP 2.9, in a de facto way, applies to all JSRs that were affected by an executive committee or where an executive committee had oversight over those JSRs. So any JSR operating under JCP 2.5 or newer is now going to be reviewed and voted on by the single executive committee. Still, though, when JSRs are, or when you as spec leads submit JSRs drafts or releases to the program management office for posting as a milestone, will contact you and prompt you whether you want to move your JSR to JCP 2.9. Now, for the 2.8 JSRs, that's really it should be a no-brainer, because for all intents and purposes, you're already under JCP 2.9, because the only change between 2.8 and 2.9 is that the executive committee has merged, and that isn't optional. It's happened. So for JSRs that are under 2.8 now, we'll ask you whether you want to move to 2.9, and the expectation is there's really no reason why you wouldn't. But for all the other JSRs, ones operating under 2.5, 2.6, 2.7, moving to 2.9 is effectively adopting all the transparency and deadline and timing requirements that are part of 2.8, as well as acknowledging that there's the merge DC. So that is to say, to put another way, that is to say that we won't be forcing anyone to move to the most recent JCP version to be listed as JCP 2.9, but at the same time, the executive committee merge has happened already. So the number of people who will be considering your JSR at ballot times will be the merge DC, and will be 25 of them rather than the 16 that you might have had before. And that's really all I have to say about JCP 2.9. The change is significant, but not very complicated. And with that, I think I will pass it over to Heather Vancura, who is going to present about transparency.
Okay, thank you, Harold. Hi, my name is Heather Vancura, and we have a second slide deck, which is community participation in the JCP program. And with this, I'm going to set the context of the JCP.next reforms and then also go through and review the transparency and participation changes that were implemented with JCP 2.8, and then some ways and suggestions of how we can start to utilize more of the community input and participation into the development of those JSRs that are operating under JCP 2.7, 2.8, or 2.9. But particular requirements will apply to 2.8 and above. So on slide 2 of the second slide deck, just as a review, JCP.next reform is broken up into 3 parts. So the first part was JSR 348, and that's JCP 2.8 is the implementation of that. And we've now had that in effect for about a year. The 3 themes in that JSR were transparency, participation, and agility. So just to review for the transparency in your expert groups, the main changes that were made here were all business conducted on a public mailing list, this is on slide 4, that you must track your issues in an issue tracker that's visible by the public. Members of the public must be able to comment on the expert group's work, and the expert group must publicly respond to all of the comments that are received. There are also some executive committee transparency changes that were introduced, and those are detailed on slide 5, and primarily in the way that the JCPEC holds its meetings and making their work transparent to the community. And also the introduction of the EC standing rules, which were formerly more of an informal process and guide. So the second set of changes with JCP 2.8 were the participation changes, and these were changes designed to enable better participation in the JSR expert groups regarding requests to join the expert group. This relates to nominations that you receive for people to participate on your expert group. Those must be public, and your responses to the nominations need to be public. And also some things around dealing with uncooperative expert group members or spec leads in the case that that situation does arise. And the PMO is always available as a resource if you do run into any of those types of concerns. You can email us at pmo@jcp.org. And there are also some participation changes introduced in regards to the executive committee members in terms of attendance and losing voting privileges and even forfeiting their executive committee seat if it gets to a certain extent of missing 5 meetings in a row or 2/3 of the meetings in a 12-month period. The third set of changes is around agility, and the primary thing here was around the introduction of timeouts for inactive JSRs. Inactive JSRs was a topic that we informally introduced several years ago, but with JCP 2.8 and 2.9 JSRs, this is formalized in the process in the form of a timeout where after certain time periods are hit, the JSRs can come up for a renewal ballot. And as we're at that year time frame now, we're starting to look at what JSRs might be falling into that category. So we haven't had any renewal ballots yet, but we may have some in the future. So this is timing as a reminder to keep in mind. 9 months from JSR initiation to early draft review, 12 months after that to publish a public draft, and 12 months following the public draft to submit a final release. And you can always submit multiple drafts, multiple early drafts that will stop a timeout as well, multiple public drafts. So that's something to keep in mind. And we also made some changes around the maintenance release process in terms of introducing a ballot versus exception process, and also some processes around ensuring that we have current links and maintenance for final release and maintenance JSRs. So the results over the last year, I'm going to get into some of the details, but basically the transparency is now an expected and required mode of operations for the JCP 2.8 and above JSRs, and it's also easier for the community to observe and participate in the work of the expert groups. And we're going to be introducing more changes in follow-on JSRs. So right now I'm on slide 10, which is results, and just quick summary, we already talked about JCP.next.2, which is introduced as JCP 2.9 this month in November. We're going to have one executive committee. And JCP.next.3 has already started following the JCP process as JSR 358. The JSR approval ballot was approved, and the executive committee forming the expert group is at work identifying the issues that are going to be addressed, but primarily that's going to be around changes to the Java Specification Participation Agreement, or the JSPA. So this is a big deal, and lawyers will get involved, and it's expected to take quite some time to complete, but it is in process. So on slide 14, we talk about more of a scorecard of JCP 2.8, and on slide 15, there are some stats in terms of how many JSRs are operating under 2.8. We have 30 inactive or in-progress JSRs through the JCP right now, and 22 of those are operating under JCP 2.8. So we have only 8 in-flight active JSRs that have not yet migrated. So we definitely are encouraging all of those JSRs that are not under JCP 2.8 or above yet to consider migrating. And I've included on slides 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21 a listing of those JSRs for you to refer to. So some of the next steps that the program office is taking is that we're encouraging you as spec leads to migrate, and we're also actively recruiting volunteers through the Adopt a JSR program to help us to get the community more involved and also to monitor the compliance of spec leads with JCP 2.8 and the transparency, and also to help you in terms of being more effective at embracing the community participation. So I'm kind of moving into the next section now, which starts on slide 24, talks about why you would want to include the community in your specification development. So it's it can be used to ensure that the standards are more practical, get more end-user support and use early on in the process, And that, in the end, is going to create better specifications and technology. It also can help you get comments earlier on, which will speed up your development process. So the primary vehicle that we've been using right now is Adopt a JSR, and on slide 25, you can see that was introduced by the London Java community and SoJava, the Brazilian Java user group, and they have set up a project on java.net where you can view the JSRs that the community is participating in. It's a Java user group-led initiative, and it's a global program at this point. So you can check it out on java.net. On slide 26, I've included the URL for that program. And so how can the Adopt a JSR program help you? On slide 27, here's some thoughts on how you might utilize the program in development of your JSR. These are suggestions. Obviously, we can do more things. If you have ideas on ways that you'd like to utilize the program, we're certainly open to that. You can email either Harold or myself or the PMO alias. We're open to suggestions, and the Java user groups have also been very supportive of suggestions that we've made. Later this month, they are going to be helping us to incorporate the transparency checks on the JSRs, so you'll be seeing more about that from Harold and myself in terms of input that we receive from the community on your JSR regarding the transparency of the development as it continues, so you can improve it as you go along and also spot any potential issues that may come up in ballots as you go through the JSR lifecycle. So that concludes the slides. That was slide 27. And I think we can go ahead and turn off the conference record, and then if there are any questions, we can address those. And again, this is all going to be posted on acp.org and available for your review at any time. Thank you for joining. And again, if you need to reach the program office, it's pmo@jcp.org.